Okay, so my name is Jennifer, and just to give an overview of where I've been since high school, I feel quite old because I think I'm the one of the oldest ones here. But I'm 25, and I graduated from high school in North Van in 2000. After graduating, I went to Capilano College for 2 years in their university transfer program. So basically, I did my first 2 years of my Bachelor of Arts at Cap College, and then I transferred to SFU and completed the rest of the degree there. And after my Bachelor of Arts, I did an extra year of teacher training to become an elementary school teacher, and I finished that just in December. And actually, as of yesterday, I have been hired by the North Van School District as a teacher on call. So that will be interesting. I haven't worked yet, but in terms of what I experienced in high school that prepared me for post-secondary education, I was thinking about it last night because my high school years are kind of distant and hard to remember. But I think the volunteer work that was actually required for us in grade 12 helped me a lot. In high school, I was very shy and soft-spoken and didn't like to speak in front of people. And getting out there to volunteer in the community let me network with people, and it also let me explore options and decide what kind of degree I might want to look at. And so part of my volunteering in grade 12, I volunteered in a kindergarten classroom, which is part of what made me decide to go into teaching. Some skills that I found lacking from high school to post-secondary. Now, Cap College, I am very glad I did the college route, and I think it's a great way to transition. It makes it much less shocking. Cap College has about 10,000 students compared to SFU, which has about 25,000. So it was not quite the same experience. And I actually had the most kind of shock when I went from Cap to SFU rather than high school to Cap. But the skills I think that are most important were organization and time management. And it wasn't even that I didn't have those skills, although I'm still working on them now, as proved by running late this morning. But those skills become so much more important in college or university. In high school, if you have a test coming up, your teacher it reminds you the week before that there's a test on Tuesday. You might want to start studying. And maybe on Monday night at the end of class, he says, "Don't forget a test tomorrow," and you might want to review. Whereas that doesn't happen in college or university. My degree was in English, so we had a lot of papers, and a lot of those papers are assigned at the beginning of the term and are due at the end of the term and are mentioned maybe once or twice in between. And so it's up to you to keep on top of that, keep on top of due dates, keep on top of exam dates so you know what you have to study and when. And also keep organized so that you don't lose notes. From experience, it is a horrible feeling to have an exam the next day and not be able to find notes on a certain topic. It makes it much more stressful than it needs to be. And also, as a student with a visual impairment, there is a lot more you are responsible for that you have to do. At SFU, there are exam forms for exam accommodations, such as using the computer or extended time. And you have to get those to the disability office 2 weeks before the exam date so that they can book you a room and all of that. And so you have to not only be on top of what you need to study, but you have to get all that paperwork in. It's the same for ordering textbooks at SFU. You are responsible for taking the textbooks you need to the disability office so that they can order them. And that was actually probably the biggest surprise for me going from high school to college and university, was the amount of reading. Now, I had an English degree, so I had more reading than possibly science or another subject would have. But the amount of reading, and also that so few materials are available in an accessible format, much less a preferred format. So when I ordered my textbooks, I put my preferred format as e-text. And I ended up getting a lot of my textbooks on tape, and I hate tapes. I would rather scan stuff myself than use tapes. In my English degree, we used the Norton Anthology, which is a huge, like, 6-volume print book in about 8-point font, very small font. And when I got that on tape, it was over 60 tapes of this book. And the professor would often assign, you know, 2 pages covering a poem that we had to read. And there's no way I'm sitting there for 45 minutes trying to find this poem. So I would just get the print book and scan what I needed and read that. And it's the same with research papers. A lot of research papers will have books that you want to use for them that won't necessarily be available on tape or in e-text or in Braille or whatever your format you prefer to use. And so to get around that, I mean, nowadays there's OCR technology, there's, you know, CCTVs, there's portable CCTVs, and I think learning to use all of that that's out there and learning what funding sources are available has helped me a lot. And I guess I'll do my 3 pieces of advice now. And so my 3 pieces of advice would, the first one would be to network and to get to know as many people as possible, including professors, classmates, any staff at the Disability Center, staff at the library, great for helping you find books and research and that. I, as some others have said here, I email all of my professors ahead of time, and I don't think I've ever had a professor who has not replied back to that email. And it's a really good opportunity to introduce yourself. Some professors have never had a visually impaired student and totally freak out and have no idea how you're going to do their course. So it's a nice time you can reassure them that it's going to be okay. They don't need to panic. I have had 1 or 2 professors who have actually advised me to drop their course. And it was, that was good to know ahead of time. In neither case, I didn't drop the course. I got a B in one of them and I got an A in the other. But by emailing them ahead of time, it's good to have that heads up that, you know, I might have some problems with this course because of the professor. In terms of networking with classmates, that's very important because, as I said, there's no professor there reminding you of due dates and reminding you that you need to do such and such a reading. And if you have 1 or 2 people from that class who you can exchange phone numbers with and call up and say, oh, you know, I forgot to write down what pages we're supposed to read tonight, can you let me know? It's good to have that resource out there. It's also good for if you are in class and your professor is showing a slideshow, it can make the difference between a very boring class that you get nothing out of and a class that you can participate in and contribute to. If you have someone that you can kind of lean over and say, what the heck is he showing? What does this have to do with anything? having them explain. My second piece of advice would be to be flexible about accommodations. Not everything is going to be perfect, and to be able to kind of think up alternatives. For me, this was especially important during student teaching. I was the first visually impaired student to go through SFU in the teaching program at SFU in, I think, 30 years. So it was like completely uncharted territory. I had no idea what I was getting into. The staff had no idea how they'd accommodate me. And it really required that we work together and think creatively about some of the adaptations. And I had a third thing and I completely, my mind has gone blank.